You know, folks, permit me an observation here. If Eli Manning were smart, he would change his race today. Greetings and welcome back. It's Rush Limbaugh on the cutting edge of societal evolution, the Limbaugh Institute for Advanced Conservative Studies. A thrill and a delight to be with you as I serve humanity simply by showing up. Telephone number if you want to be on the program today, 800-282-2882, and the email address rush@eibnet.com. It just so happens that the next stop on the Rush to Excellence tour is Philadelphia, Thursday night, October the 11th, at the Academy of Music. It's at Locust and Broad Straits in Philadelphia. Some 2,400 ditto heads will be packing the place on the night of October the 11th. Next Rush to Excellence stop in Philadelphia. Before we move on to Hillary and her health care plan and the whole thing, you got to hear this. This is in court yesterday in New York City. A portion of an exchange between an unidentified attorney and the coach and the president of New York Knicks, Isaiah Thomas. There's a woman in the front office, Knicks front office, that charged Thomas with sexual harassment. And here's the exchange.
Mr. Thomas, you stated earlier that you found it offensive for a white man to call a black woman a bitch. Do you remember that testimony?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, yes.
Yes.
Would you find it also offensive for a black male to call a black woman a bitch?
Not as much, and I'm sorry to say. I do make a distinction.
Okay, there's Isaiah Thomas defending himself on the witness stand in New York, head honcho of the New York Knicks. Folks, it's a cultural thing. It's just what you have to do to understand it. All right, Mrs. Clinton unveiled the details of her health care plan yesterday. How about that for a transition? Only seasoned and highly trained broadcast specialists could pull that off, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get to Mrs. Clinton's plan, interesting comment here from the director of the Health and Human Services Department, Mike Leavitt, I think is how he pronounces his name. I think it is Leavitt. She looks better than I've seen her look in 25 years. I just saw somebody on TV. Mike, I'm stunned at that. I really am. Look at that. I'll tell you, plastics, you can do amazing things in these days. Mike Leavitt, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, said that the president's going to veto the SHIPS plan, the new additions to the children's health care program, which is good, which is fine and dandy. He's going to do that. But at the same time, the president is going to urge Congress to join him in seeking coverage for all Americans. This is not how you do. This is not how you do this. This is not how you preempt the Democrats. Leavitt said the president wants to leave office with a plan in place to cover every American insurance-wise. So we go through the numbers here: 47 million uninsured. The first thing, you know, these people proposing all these health care plans. I have a question, a serious question: are they running to lead the country or are they running to destroy it? We hear Obama go on and on about how Wall Street's got to take care of the middle class. The middle class is dying out there. We got to do something again. Robert B. Reich, who says super capitalism is unfair and it's destroying freedom, which is just, it's the exact opposite. We got every Democrat presidential candidate proposing massive universal health care programs. What are they trying to do? Lead the country or destroy it? When I say destroy it, I mean destroy it as it exists and remake it as they would like it, with a top-heavy government that's in charge of as much as they can get it in charge of, in terms of individual liberties and freedoms and so forth. Now we've got the Secretary of Health and Human Services out there saying the president wants Congress to join him in seeking coverage for all Americans. Leavitt said that he'd like to see the larger debate begin. The very best opportunity we have may well be in the next 15 months. Now, I don't know if this is a campaign strategy to take the momentum away from the Democrats on this, but Well, I'm going to have to hear more about it. This is not the president speaking. This is the Health and Human Services Director, and I want to wait till I actually hear the president say that, because that's something that it's just frightening. Now let's take a look at some of the details of Mrs. Clinton's plan. The Cato Institute has one of their scholars who is their director of health and welfare studies at Cato, which is a libertarian think tank, Michael D. Tanner, has examined her proposal in detail and finds 1, 2, 3, 4 of the worst features of her proposal. The first one is an individual mandate. And this is sort of like the Breck girls. Senator Clinton would require every American to purchase health insurance or face penalties. Now, you might be saying, well, they do that. They do the auto insurance. The states do that, folks. The states can do it. But you don't have to buy insurance if you don't drive on state roads. If you have a big estate or a big farm and you want to go out and buy a car and you only drive it on your property, you do not have to get it insured. But these are state laws. And that's fine. If the states want to mandate and require this. But the federal government doing this kind of thing is totally against the U.S. Constitution. You can read the Constitution front to back, and you will find nowhere, you'll find nothing anywhere in the Constitution that empowers the federal government to impose this kind of mandate. And then penalties to boot. And we just had the story out of Great Britain the other day. A guy's got a broken ankle. They're not going to fix it till he quits smoking. He says he's tried. He can't quit. And they're not going to fix it. This is the kind of thing we're headed for. All of liberalism is about dictating behavior and finding ways to make sure you have to comply. And so if they don't want you smoking, which is absurd because they're using cigarette taxes to fund all these healthcare programs, somebody's going to have to smoke. Somebody's going to have to buy the cigarettes, and you're going to you better damn well make sure there's a place they can smoke them after they buy them, or the whole thing's going to come crashing down. Of course, it will crash down. And all of you people laughing and guffawing about the smokers' taxes going up, you're like, yeah, make them pay, filthy, rotten, dirty habit. Well, if you don't let them smoke them anywhere, they're not going to buy them. And if you tax them so high that the price becomes more expensive than gasoline, they're not going to buy them. And then what are you going to do for your tax revenue? All you people out there laughing at the tax increase being shoveled onto what you think is just one small group of people, guess where the taxes are going to be levied? Because they're not going to get rid of the program. They're going to come right to the rest of us to pick up the revenue that the smokers are no longer providing, which I think is the plan anyway. This is how liberals do this. And a lot of politicians are in favor of tax increases. Just pick a group of people that the rest of the population despises. Tax child abusers, tax sexual deviants, tax smokers, you know, tax people that consume adult beverage. Yeah, these are moral reprobate. Tax them. Yeah, that's how it works. They establish a notion of a tax increase and you'll accept it because you think it's penalizing somebody. Well, your turn to be penalized is going to eventually come because with liberals, everybody's going to get penalized. Mark my words. So we're going to have an individual mandate. Every American required to purchase health insurance or face penalties. And, of course, do I need to detail problems with this for you? This will restrict individual choice. It will restrict liberty. It'll require a massive new bureaucracy to enforce. How are they going to enforce this? You know, right now, if you don't have health insurance and you show up at the emergency room, federal law requires you get covered, you get treated. If after this plan were to be enacted and you are required to have insurance and don't, and you show up at the emergency room, what happens? Well, there's going to be penalties. What's going to happen? Are you not going to be treated? They're going to leave you on the floor there while other people who have followed the government-run edicts get treated before you do. And you want to met you the regulatory mess that this is going to create that will result in either in even more government control because the original set of regulations naturally won't encompass everything. Ooh, yep, whoop, we forgot. We got to add this to that and so forth. Second thing that Cato found among the worst features of Hillary's proposal, employer mandate. Senator Clinton would impose a pay or play mandate on American businesses, requiring them to provide workers with health insurance or pay an additional tax into a government insurance fund. Hello, state of Maryland. They tried to do this, and a federal judge threw it out as unconstitutional. But it's in Mrs. Clinton's plan. Such a mandate simply increases the cost of hiring workers, meaning employers will inevitably hire fewer of them. And some may have to even lay off current employees in order to meet this mandate of providing cradle-to-grave health insurance for the employee and his family and his barmaids and mistresses. Also expanding government programs. Senator Clinton would expand the state children's health insurance program to provide benefits for middle-class families all the way up to incomes of $82,000 a year. Children qualified as 25 years or under in age. And insurance regulation. Senator Clinton would require insurance companies to accept all applicants, regardless of their health, and would impose community rating on health insurance premiums. As a result, the young and healthy would obviously be required to pay more in order to subsidize the old and the sicker. If you walk in and you don't have insurance and you're required to go get it, and they're required to sell it to you, and you are you're a risk to kick the bucket anytime soon, the premium is going to be sky high because they're going to have to pay off at some point all your care. Guess who's going to be paying that? Everybody else. So Mrs. Clinton, trusting big government. Remember, she just had a big photo op about a month ago, spent a day with a nurse in a hospital. So why were you doing this? Well, I wanted to find out what nurses go through. Wait a minute, I thought you were a healthcare expert. You know, this is, well, I'm not wrong. It is government health care. Now, here's a neat trick, too, that Mrs. Clinton's doing. Mrs. Clinton, you know, she learned something. That last health care plan was 2,100 pages or 1,200 pages, something like that. This is just going to be a blueprint. She's going to let congressional committees fill in the details, which means what wacko in the Senate runs that committee? I know in the House it's John Dingell that would be in charge of it, but who runs the health committee? It's right. It's Kennedy's committee. So Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy, be plugging in the details. That's what she says. And that's to keep the heat off of her when this happened. As I mentioned, folks, you get out the Constitution, you look at it, and you will not find where it outlines or permits or specifies a federal government is granted the power to force citizens to buy anything, let alone a health insurance policy. I can't find it in my Constitution. There's nothing in there that says in fact, the whole Constitution was written to limit the power of the federal government. And now we supposedly can find a way in there that the federal government can make you buy anything. Once you let them tell you that you have to buy health insurance, what the hell else are they going to then tell you you have to buy once the precedent is set? If you look at the Constitution, you will find that the federal government can only take action specifically authorized by the Constitution. All those other powers are reserved for the states, for the people. There's a guy who... Some guy sued God the other day. Some Nebraska guy sued God to illustrate that lawsuits are out of control. Anybody can sue anybody. Well, maybe we sue God over this if it comes to it. But here's the thing. If we refuse, for example, to exercise, let's say that one of the mandates is we have to exercise. We have to be healthy out there. Well, what if we refuse? I, for one, will say screw it. You can make me, your federal government cannot make me exercise. I'm not going to do it. What's the penalty to me? Take my health care away? By the way, I don't even want to get into an insurance program. I don't even want to. Do I have a chance not to? Can I buy my own health care coverage as I need it? Not coverage, but my treatment. Can I pay for it as I do? What if I don't want it? What's my penalty here? If we don't exercise, will Hillary send jack-booted thugs in to march us around for 30 minutes every day inside our backyards or homes? Or better yet, have to go to a government-run gym to work out? You know, she is quoted today, I kid you not, Mrs. Clinton is quoted today as being upset that men do not wash their hands. Well, if she's upset that men don't wash their hands, can you imagine how livid she's going to be if we refuse to exercise? You add that on it. You know, the ads that could destroy this, the TV ads, they're endless. They're just waiting to be made. And one of the reasons why she's not getting all that specific is to avoid the Harry and Louise type ads that ran back in 1993-94. I'm really long here, folks. So, a brief timeout. The next segment's going to be short. Apologize in advance for it. Just want you to know. Here's another thought, ladies and gentlemen, on Mrs. Clinton's socialized medicine presentation. I just mentioned to you that one of the things her proposal features is that insurance company cannot turn down anyone for an existing condition. Why, then, should anyone apply for insurance until they get sick? I mean, if they can't turn you down, wait till you get sick, because you'd have to be accepted. Pre-existing condition. Spend a lot less money. Don't have anybody get insurance till they're about to die. Now, back to these penalties. What happens? They mandate the purchase of insurance out there. What happens if I don't? I asked this question mere moments ago. Will I go to jail? If I don't buy it, will they buy it for me? Will I not get care in an emergency if I don't buy insurance? And more importantly, will illegal immigrants be forced to buy health insurance as well? I'm dead serious about that question. Will they be forced to buy health insurance? Well, the answer will be, of course not, Rush, because we really don't know who they are. And we don't know how to find them. Well, then I assume they won't be covered when they show up. And No. They're, as Hillary said to them, we got the audio tapes coming up. As Hillary said to them, you are the face of America, she said to them. By the way, you know, just 2 or 3 years ago, she was totally against illegal immigration. Well, yeah, we got the audio sound. Yes, we do. Let me find it here. I got so much Hillary here today. Well, I know it's in the stupid soundbite roster. Now, wouldn't you know that I'm looking for it? I can't find it. I'll find it eventually. I know I read it. As I remember what I read. I have one of the best memories out there in all of media. I want to go back to this number, 47 million uninsured. We have 12 million illegals. Well, we have 12 to 20 million illegals. In fact, we're not really sure. The Census Bureau wants all raids to stop in 2010, so the illegals will show up and say, I'm here, because we want an accurate count. We're estimating that 12 to 20 million illegals. And we're told the latest number that everybody's bandying about here, 47 million without health care. Wait a minute. Maybe it's 12 million without health care and 47 million illegals. I mean, how do we really know? And if you're a news junkie, and many of you are, you know the numbers 12 million and 47 million. You can probably fill in the blanks. 12 million, the number of illegal aliens, you are told. 47 million, oh yeah, piece of cake, that's the number of people without health care, you are told. But as you know, I'm from Missouri. Show me. All these numbers get bandied about, and nobody is ever required to prove them. Remember good old Mitch Snyder, a homeless advocate from back in the 80s? 3 million homeless. There were never 3 million homeless, but become established as the number. I assume all 12 million illegals don't have health care. What percentage of the 47 million are they? At what percentage of the 47 million don't want health care because they're young, can't afford it, or don't think they're going to need it in a while? That's right, a man, a living legend, a way of life, a Nobel Peace Prize nominee. Prophet, by the way. What else have I called in there? Lots of things. Serving humanity here on the EIB network. Now, another feature of Mrs. Clinton's health care plan is this, and it's, I want to read it to you from the Washington Post editorial on this today. The most intriguing part of the Clinton plan would limit the tax deductibility of employer-sponsored health insurance for those making more than $250,000 a year. At that income level, employees would have to pay tax on health care plans more generous than the standard federal employee health plan. Now, What this means to me is that all of a sudden, if you make $250,000 or more, then the health care benefit that you get at work, if it's better than the federal plan is, then you have to pay tax on that as income, be added to your income. You won't, all these benefits do not accrue as income, taxable income. I knew this is going to happen. It's only a matter of time. And it's going to happen to everybody, not just people who make over $250,000. It'll start there, but it'll eventually dwindle down to everybody else because that's where the real money is. You can go out there and tax all these people at $250,000 a year up. But if you, that's not going to give them the money they need. This is frightening stuff. This is really frightening stuff. Then you go to the New York Times here. Senator Barack Obama chastised Wall Street executives yesterday as failing to protect middle class interests and called for increased federal oversight of credit rating agencies. In an appearance at NASDAQ offices in Midtown Manhattan, Mr. Obama, a Democrat presidential candidate, praised America's free market impulse but lamented what he characterized as its recent toll on the middle class. Free market impulse, Senator Obama, is what has made the middle class better than it has ever been. I cannot tell you how frustrating this is. Go out and create a message of doom and gloom each and every day. Do not report anything that is positive. Do not. It will harm the Democrats in this country if people are happy. To go out there and tell people in the middle class that the very thing that is raising their opportunity and their wealth, their overall net worth, is destroying them. Who appointed this guy? Here again, where does Mrs. Clinton come off as the healthcare expert of all the people in this country? Where does Obama come off as the chief lecturer on capitalism? But Rush, they're presidential candidates. I know, and it's up to people to figure out that they're frauds. Anybody, Republican, Democrat alike, who comes along and says, we know better how to run this. And then the second part of that is, the government will do it. For crying out loud, what does the government do now on the domestic side that would recommend to anybody we let them take over even more? It's an amazing thing. All right, let's go to the phones and reward people's patience for waiting. This Jack in Boston, nice to have you on the program, sir. Hello.
Yeah, Rush. You know, this comparison of the Hillary health care plan to automobile insurance is totally bogus. Automobile insurance is for liability insurance if you hurt somebody else. But you don't have to insure your own car or your own safety. It's purely for liability of hurting others. So they can't cite automobile insurance as a precedent for Hillary health care.
But this is how they think. Of course, people are going to maybe not be as sophisticated as you are in understanding it. But the point is that auto insurance is mandated by states, not the federal government.
Yes, but even so, the additional argument is even in that case, it's only for a liability if you hurt somebody else. They don't require you to insure your own car or yourself. They couldn't do that. So even on a state level, they couldn't do that. So the analogy breaks down in two respects. One, because it's state.
Wait a minute now. Do you realize how many people you have just shocked who think that their insurance is also to insure their car, not just to insure the fact that they might harm somebody else?
No, Rush. They can get the insurance for their own car, but I'm talking about what the state absolutely requires. The state requires that you have insurance
for the
other.
I just wanted that stipulated.
Yeah, right. We're talking about requirements. And to set the precedent for automobile insurance requirement at any level is no precedent for Hillary health care because that's for just liability.
Exactly right. So the analogy to Hillary health care would be you've got to get health care insurance in case somebody comes to your house and you put arsenic in their soup and they get sick.
Right, but not if you get sick yourself.
Not if you get sick yourself.
Big distinction.
I know. I'm glad you called. I'm glad you made it. I appreciate that, Jack. This is Margo in Chicago. Margo, you're next. It's great to have you on the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rush.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a retailer, and I want to go back to what you were talking about in the very beginning of the show about Robert Reich and the jobs.
Yes.
And being a retailer, I have seen so much manufacturing go to China. And in business, you know, if the competition is doing something right, well, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. So often in business, you'll adapt your business model to mimic that of a tough competitor. I think China qualifies there. So if you think of America as a business and China as a competing business, I would like to know, what are the stats on China? I'd like to know, is there a minimum wage? How much is forcibly extracted from their paychecks, like workman compensation, Social Security, unemployment compensation, Medicare, health insurance, all of that? Because I pay about $1.24 for every dollar in wages, and the employee sees about 76 cents on the dollar. So that's the business data you need, and I think that the Democrat candidates...
All right, wait a minute. Wait just a second. You raced through that, and this is important, and people have to hear this.
Uh-huh.
I want to repeat this. It costs you $1.24 for every dollar you pay somebody.
Correct.
Now, people, well, of course, that doesn't make any sense to me. If you're from Rio Linda, it doesn't. What it means is you're actually being paid the $1.24, just you're only seeing a dollar of it.
No, they're only seeing about 76 cents.
Depends
on if they're married or single, but they're not really seeing the dollar either, because then you got your, you know, federal taxes taken out.
Exactly right. Exactly. So, but it's costing you $1.24 to hire them. They see 76 cents.
Correct.
Of every dollar they earn.
That's right.
And so what she is asking here is, you know, are Chi-Com workers subjected to the same kind of... circumstance. Actually, the Chi-Com workers don't make nearly as much as American employees or workers. I hate that word worker. It's a communist word.
Right. But so just employees. Let's just call them employees. But since China is getting, I mean, they are, you can't believe how many jobs they've snarfed from us in the last 20 years since I've been in business. It's incredible. And so
I know, and they're putting lead in the toys.
Yeah. Well, we know they're cutting their costs that way. But, you know, I would like to know, what is their minimum wage? What is that, and how much is taken out? Because they've obviously got a winning business plan. So if the Democrats are going to emulate that, or whoever, you know, is going to try and get jobs. I mean, the Democrats are always saying they want to create jobs and everything like that. And, you know, I don't think it's the Chinese government creating the jobs. That's for sure. It's entrepreneurs. And
I know the point that you are making. But, and in theory, you're right, but the Chinese government is effectively creating these jobs by opening up their market, which was closed. And the reason they're doing it is not for economic it is for economic reasons. The biggest problem the Chinese president has, his name is Hu Jintao, his biggest problem is creating 25 million new jobs every year. That's how fast his economy is growing. And the reason he needs to do that is because he needs to keep the people who don't live in the cities in China out of the cities. He can't have them coming to the city. He'll lose control of his population. Those cities are infested with people now. They got cars, the pollution, all of it. It's a mess. He needs to keep his people that live outside the cities. He's got to have jobs for them there. So factories are built there to keep them there. They are finding a way to create jobs by opening up opportunities for other nations to build factories there. And Hu Jintao is entirely happy with his population earning very little.
Right.
Minimum wage over there is staying alive.
Well, and another question is, what do they tax an American import that comes into their country versus what do we tax their imports coming into this country? I mean, what is the import tax on their exported goods coming into this country versus what they're charging on something that we make and send over there?
Well, there's an inequity in it. I mean, we what the balance of trade is. We've got a big deficit trade with them. But at any rate, that stuff theoretically now, if you leave it alone, evens out. The problem is the Chi-Coms are going to leave it alone, and we're not going to leave it alone because we got micromanagers of everything on the Democrat side running for president. You say Democrats want to create jobs. You tell me they want to create jobs. They're trying to destroy the pharmaceutical industry. They're trying to destroy, you talk about retail. The biggest enemy is Walmart. They've got you name it, big food now, fast food. I mean, the Democrat Party in this country is setting its sights on industries that are the engine of capitalism in this country, and it is not by accident this is happening. Welcome back, Rush Limbaugh here, serving humanity. Get this. This is from the UK Daily Mail. 6 out of 10 people in the UK would not be motivated to do more exercise, even if their lives depended on it. A poll has found this despite one person dying. Now, get this. Get this next claim. In Great Britain, this newspaper says, the British Heart Foundation, says that one person dies every 15 minutes in the UK as a result of physical inactivity. I kid you not. It's right here. Now, look, if you want to find out what we're headed for with Hillary Care, just take a look at some of the shenanigans that are happening in the UK. It is absurd. But now you've got the British Heart Foundation saying, yep, every 15 minutes a person dies from lack of physical activity. That is a claim that cannot be established. It simply cannot be established. The charity's survey also found that only a third of UK adults achieve the minimum recommended amount of exercise, 30 minutes every day, five times a week. Yet increasing the heart rate for just 30 minutes a day can cut the risk of heart disease in half. Prove that. Anybody ever heard of Jim Fix? Prove this. Prove all these things. Five easy ways here. You idiots don't know a thing. You have no idea how to live right. So here are five easy things from the UK Daily Mail that you can do to fit exercise into your routine. Park your car, a 15-minute walk from work, or take a brisk walk to your bus stop or train station in the morning. Allow yourself 20 minutes to go for a stroll at lunchtime. The fresh air and the exercise will help clear your head for the afternoon at work. Take the stairs, even if you are just a few floors up. Also try walking up escalators. Clean your house. The tiresome task will help your heart. If you're bored of solo exercise like jogging, try taking a local dance class. From salsa to belly dancing, there's a huge range to choose from. They put this in a news story. Now, they're assuming everybody's house is dirty. Well, it is, isn't it? Well, mine isn't either, but it's because I take steps. But I've been plenty of other people exercise, don't clean theirs. I've been to dumps before. You have too. Don't. You know some people have dirty houses out there. Guy says this is a deadly, serious issue. With our busy lifestyles and labor-saving devices, we've stopped getting the exercise our bodies desperately. One person every 50 minutes dies because they're lazy. Do you know laziness is a cause of death in the UK now? And wait till they factor this into their health care program. Mandate that you do exercise. Is Mrs. Clinton going to do this? They're going to have to cut costs somehow, folks, because it's going to spiral out of control. I ought to contribute to this. I ought to do the Rush Limbaugh exercise video. And it would feature things like this. If you are watching television, everybody has remote controls. Put the remote, well, don't put it down. But instead of changing channels from your couch, walk with the remote in your hand to the TV. Change channels at the TV. Walk back to the couch. That's number one. And also, that will exercise the finger. Very important to exercise the finger. You never know when it's going to be needed. And you get exercise changing the channels. And think of as many times as you change channels today. Walk to the TV every time. Like you had to. In the old days, had to go up there to change the channel before they had the remotes. Now, just do that. Pretend that there is no remote. Go up there and use the remote because there's no manual way to change a channel on many TVs today. Second thing to do, instead of microwaving popcorn when you're going to watch TV, actually go to the kitchen, get a pot and pan, get some oil, preferably coconut oil if you can find it, and the popcorn, put it in a pan, turn on the stove, and shake it. You will get great exercise. Would this not be a great exercise video? Also, when it comes time to pack, go to your closet with your staff member, open the door, and point to what you want packed and say, I need this in a half hour, rather than sending them an email. That will require you to climb the steps to your closet if it's upstairs. There's any number of ways that we can illustrate how we can all get a little bit more exercise, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thinking of doing this video to mock these idiots. One person dying every 15 minutes from laziness. Cut me. I'm not an idiot. Hi, welcome back. I'm Rush Limbaugh. This is the EIB Network, and we go to Fairfax, Virginia. Kelly, thank you for calling. Nice to have you with us.
Hey, Rush. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. I have a comment on Hillary's health care plan. I guess a suggestion for it.
Yeah.
Back in the early night, from 92 to 93, I lived in the Czech Republic. I was a teacher, and they actually had what they called the sick police. I think that was the literal translation. What this meant was that, obviously, it was all government.
Wait. It's the Czech Republic. They had the Sikh police?
They were called the Sikh police. And any Czech I learned is long gone, but I think that was the literal translation. It was people whose job it was to check up on you to make sure that if you were taking sick days that you were actually homesick.
Wow.
So they would actually come by with a little clipboard.
Well, actually, this kind of surprises me, the Czech Republic. This is new? This is the modern Czech Republic?
No. This is the old.
I was going to say. Oh, I'm sitting here freaking out over this.
No. They would. No, there's no breaking news.
All right.
I went. I was a young idealistic college student. I went there in 92 to teach English. So it was actually Czechoslovakia when I went there.
Right, the Czech Republic. Right.
So they were just. In fact, they. The Clintons were elected. Well, the Clintons were elected when I was there, and they were shocked because I think their position, the Czech position that I met, was like, well, we're trying to get away from socialism.
I'm going to tell you something. This is not out of the realm of possibility. Listen, this is from the Associated Press today. If you don't get insured under Hillary's health care plan, you may not get a job. She said she could envision a day, Mrs. Clinton did, when, quote, you have to show proof to your employer that you're insured as part of the job interview, like when your kid goes to school, has to show proof of vaccination. She said such details would be worked out through negotiations with Congress. So you might have to prove that you are insured in order to get a job under Mrs. Clinton's program. This, of course, details worked out by Ted Kennedy at the Senate Committee on Health and John Dingell in the House of Representatives. There's all kinds of little hidden jewelry. If you don't understand it, I'll explain it when we get back.